Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Hi, this is Pastor Vince. I want to welcome you to today's podcast. Great news. We're starting a new course today, and this is Creative Bible Study Methods. And this course, like all of our courses, was created by the Harvest Time International Institute, and we use them at our school, Ames International School of Ministry. With this particular course, I'd recommend that you go ahead, go to the school site. You can find it easily by going to freebiblecollege.com, sign up for free, go to the student page, read the instructions, download the book, and then you can follow along with me. The reason for that is that this particular course, unlike some of the others, has a lot of diagrams in it, and you're going to want to be able to follow along with me. So as we go on with this particular course, first off, I just want to introduce to you the reason why this course was created. The New Testament prophet John the Baptist was known as a voice crying in the wilderness. And as he proclaimed the word of God, his message was fresh, it was powerful and relevant to the spiritual needs of his time. Many people today have become echoes of spiritual truths. They hear from those around them. So they hear other preachers and so forth, and they're basically just mimicking what they've heard. They are not a voice through which God can reveal his message, but are only an echo of what they hear from others. They're like the prophets of whom God said, "Steal my words, every one from his neighbor." That's found in Jeremiah 23:30. So in order to speak God's word, you must first know what God has said. So the purpose of this particular course is to equip you to understand God's word. And you only need this manual, a Bible, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to really learn these creative Bible study methods. A method really is an organized way to accomplish something in an orderly plan. And Bible study methods are organized plan to study God's written word. The word creative means having the ability to produce that which is new. This course teaches you how to study God's word for yourself. You'll not have to rely on the research of others because you will be able to create your own Bible studies that are based on the study of God's written word. By learning proper Bible study methods, you will become a voice through which God can speak his truths to a spiritually hungry world. And you're no longer only just an echo of what you hear from others. Creative Bible study methods introduces the Bible as the written word of the one true God. And it explains the divisions of the Bible, various versions, translations, paraphrases. First, the course guides you to discover what the Bible teaches about itself. Then creative methods are explained, and you are given the opportunity to use each method as discussed. Now, this course also explains how to outline, make study notes, mark your Bible for easy reference, and reduce lengthy passages to simple charts. The course guides you to proper interpretation and application of God's Word, and it directs attention to the greatest teacher of all, who, of course, is the Holy Spirit. So, if you're going to follow the guidelines presented, you will experience a new, creative, spiritual life flow flowing from within you. Now, no method of Bible study can replace the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is the spiritual force that endues a method with creative power. He whispers into the human spirit the truths of God's word, which create a new spiritual life flow. Now, the study of methods is not an end in itself, and it's not the final goal. The methods are only a means to accomplish the objective of studying God's word. It's not enough to learn these methods. You must use what you learn to study God's word and apply its truths to your life and your ministry. Although you may complete the lessons in this manual, in reality, you will never really complete this course because your study of God's word will never be finished because its rich spiritual truths can never be exhausted. So let's go ahead and begin with chapter 1. And this one is entitled Introducing the Bible. So upon completion of this lesson, you're going to be able to write the key verse from memory. You'll be able to define the word Bible, define the word Scripture, explain the origin of the Bible, identify the major purposes of the Bible, identify the Old and New Testaments as two major divisions of the Bible, name the four divisions of the Old Testament books, and name the four divisions of New Testament books. You're going to be able to explain what it what is meant by the unity and diversity of the Bible. And lastly, you're going to be able to identify the person upon whom the revelation of both testaments center. So our key verse is found in 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, which is, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, this chapter introduces the Bible, which is the written word of the one true God. The word Bible means the books. The Bible is one volume, which consists of 66 separate books. And the word scripture is also used to refer to God's word. The word comes from a Latin word, which means writing. When the word scripture is used with the capital S, it means the sacred writings of the one true God. The word Bible is not used in the Bible. It is a word used by men as a title for all of God's words. The Bible is the written word of God. He inspired the words in the Bible and used approximately 40 different men to write down his words. These men wrote over a period of about 1,500 years. The perfect agreement of these writers is one proof that they were all guided by a single author, and that author was God. Some of the writers wrote down exactly what God said. Jeremiah 36:2 says, "Take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel." Other writers wrote what they experienced or what God revealed concerning the future. We find that in Revelations 1:19. It says, "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." So all the writers wrote under God's inspiration the words of his message for us. And for the purpose of the Bible itself records what its main purpose is. And we read that from our main text. All scriptures are given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the scriptures are to be used to teach doctrine, to reprove and correct people from evil, and to teach righteousness, and they will help you live right and to equip you for the work of God. Now, there's major divisions in the Bible. The Bible is divided into two major sections called the Old Testament and the New Testament. The word testament means covenant. The covenant is agreement. The Old Testament records God's original covenant or agreement with man. The New Testament records the new covenant made by God through his Son, Jesus Christ. What was the subject of these two agreements? They both concerned restoring sinful men to a right relationship with God, and God made a law that sin can only be forgiven through the shedding of blood. We find that in Hebrews 9:22, it says, without shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness. So under God's agreement in the Old Testament, blood sacrifices of animals were made by men to obtain forgiveness for sin. This was a symbol of the blood sacrifice Jesus Christ would provide under the new agreement with God. Through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, a final sacrifice for sin was made. It says here that, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the new covenant, that by means of death for the redemption, the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. That's found in Hebrews 9, 11 through 15. So both testaments are the word of God, and we must study both in order to understand God's message. The term Old and New Testaments are used to distinguish between God's agreement with man before and after the death of Jesus Christ. We do not disregard the Old Testament simply because it's called old. And then we also have further divisions. The Bible is further divided into 66 books. The Old Testament has 39 books. The New Testament contains 27 books. And each book is divided into chapters and verses. Although the context of each book is the Word of God, the division into chapters and verses was really made by man, and it was made to make it easy to locate specific passages. It'd be very difficult to find a passage if the books were all one long paragraph. So here's a simple diagram you want to look in your book that shows the basic divisions of the Bible. So if you look at that, you see it says the Bible. Then it says Old Testament 39 books, New Testament 27 books, the unity of the Bible. So when we speak of the unity of the Bible, we mean two things. One is that the Bible is united in content. So even though the Bible is written by many writers over many years, there's no contradictions. One author does not contradict any of the others. The Bible includes a discussion of hundreds of controversial subjects. And a controversial subject is one that creates different opinions when mentioned. Yet the writers of the Bible spoke on such subjects with harmony from the first book of Genesis through the last book of Revelation. This was possible because there was really only one author, who was God. The writers only recorded the message under his direction and inspiration. For this reason, the content of the Bible is considered to be united. Number two, the Bible is united in theme. So some people think that the Bible is a collection of 66 separate books on different subjects. They do not realize that the Bible is united by really a major theme. From the beginning to the end, the Bible reveals God's special purpose, which is summarized in the book of Ephesians. We find that in Ephesians 1, 9 through 11. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in this dispensation of fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we've obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. The Bible reveals the mystery of God's plan, which is the unifying theme of the Bible, is the revelation of Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinful mankind. Jesus explained how the Old Testament centered on him. We find that in Luke 24:44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I have spoken unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. With this introduction, Jesus continued, and he said in Luke 24:45, Open he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And so what was the key Jesus gave them to understanding the Scriptures? The fact that its major theme was really focused on him. In Luke 24:46-4, it says, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And the repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. So the Old and New Testaments both tell the story of Jesus. The Old Testament prepares us for its happening, and the New Testament tells us how it happened. Now, this unites the Bible in one major theme. The people who look forward to Jesus under the Old Testament were saved from their sins through faith in God's promise. Everyone who looks back to it as having been fulfilled in Jesus Christ is saved in the same way, through faith that it happened just as God promised. Now, there's also a diversity of the Bible. When we speak of diversity of the Bible, we mean that the Bible has variety. It records different ways in which God dealt with people and the different ways in which they responded to him. The Bible is written in different moods. Some portions express joy while others reflect sorrow. The Bible includes different types of writing. It contains history, poetry, prophecy, letters, adventure, parables, miracles, and love stories. Because of its variety, the Bible has been further divided into major groups of books. So here are the Old Testament divisions. The books of the Old Testament are divided into four major groups: law, history, poetry, and prophecy. So the books of the law, these are the five books of the law. The names of these books are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And these books record the creation of man and the world by God in the early history of man. And they tell how God raised up the nation of Israel as a people through which he could reveal himself to the nations of the world. These books record the law of God. The best known parts are the Ten Commandments, which are found in Exodus 23 through 17. The greatest of all commandments, Deuteronomy 6:5, and the second greatest commandment, Leviticus 19:18. Open your Bible, locate the books of the law in the Old Testament. Locate the three verses mentioned in the preceding paragraph and read them. They're an example of the laws of God as recorded in these books. The next groupings are the books of history. These are 12 books of history in the Old Testament. The names of the books of history are Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. So you're going to want to locate these books in the Bible. They're found right after the books of the law. The books of history cover a 1,000-year history of God's people, Israel. Naturally, they do not tell everything that happened, but they record the major events and show the results of both following and ignoring God's laws. Then we have the books of poetry. There are 5 books of poetry. The names of the books of poetry are Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. These books are the worship books of God's people, Israel. They're still used in worship by believers today. Turn to Psalms 23 and read it. This is an example of the beautiful worship poetry contained in these books. Then lastly, we have the books of prophecy. The books of prophecy of the Old Testament are divided into 2 groups, which are called major and minor prophetical books. It does not mean that the major prophets are more important than the minor prophets. The title is simply used because the major prophets are longer books than the minor prophets. There are 17 books of prophecy in the Old Testament, and the names of the book of prophecy are as follows. The major prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel, and the minor prophets are Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zechariah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. These books are prophetic messages from God to his people about future events. Many of these prophecies have already been fulfilled, but some remain to be fulfilled in the future. So find the prophetic books in your Bible. They're the last books of the Old Testament. So then we have New Testament divisions. The New Testament also has been divided into 4 groups. We have the Gospels, History, Letters, and Prophecy. So first off, with the Gospels, they are the 4 books of the Gospels. The names of these books are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These books tell about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and their purpose is to lead you to believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God. Find the Gospels in your Bible and read John 20:31, which states this purpose. Then we have the books of history. These are the books. There is one book of history in the New Testament. It's called the Book of Acts. This book tells how the church began to fulfill Christ's commission to spread the gospel throughout the world. So you want to locate this book in your Bible, which is right after the Gospels. Then we go on to the letters. There are 21 letters in the New Testament, and the names of the letters are these: Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter, 1, 2, and 3 John, and Jude. So the letters are addressed to all believers. Their purpose is to guide them in living and help them to do what Jesus commanded. Romans 12 is a good example of what they're teaching. So if you turn to the chapter in your Bible and read it, the letters are also sometimes called epistles, which means letters. And then finally, in the New Testament, we have prophecy. Now, Revelation is the only book of prophecy in the New Testament, and it tells of the final victory of Jesus and his people. Its purpose is to encourage you to keep living as a Christian should live until the end of time, and its message is summarized in Revelation 2:10. So that's it for this particular lesson. Go ahead and do your chapter self-tests in your book, and then join me for the next lesson.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.